quote from the Guilds of the North, where Steamforge won't let me buy one model at a time, and Yom still sucks. As always, I'm your host, Paul Filio, here with my co-host, Antoine Bergeron.
Hello.
And B. Steve.
Hello, nurse. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. So, guys, how are you doing?
Very good.
Excellent, excellent. I'm happy to say we're finally recording this. The downside of not recording often enough is that we have way too much content for one episode, so this should be interesting. See how we power through this. Been lots of changes, lots of new stuff to the game since last time we recorded.
Yeah.
Yeah. Game plan deck is fully in. All kinds of new box sets are out. There's been new licensing deals. And of course we have some more news on the East National Canadian Guild Ball Tournament that you guys are organizing. So I guess we'll get right to it so we can get through it. And first up, we're just going to talk a little about the new licensing deal with Deep Cut Studios. Do you guys have any thoughts on this?
Well, they announced that Deep Cut Studio will produce alternate design mats for that are officially licensed for Guild Ball. The first one we saw was the Ratcatcher one launch at Salute. And there was a sneak peek of a Mortician one as well. We saw on the Guild Ball support page on Facebook as well. But we didn't see the entire pitch, just kind of the center.
The logo?
Yeah, logo. Mortician logo on some kind of rock tiles and things like that.
Just a sexy teaser.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Deep Cut makes some good quality stuff. It seems to me we got a sample mat from them.
Yeah, we got a while back. Swamp mat for the last Chaos Lady.
Yeah. And production quality was really good on that. So it's no seems like a no brainer that Steamforge would get a company that makes a good product to do the mats, because it's not like they really want to do them. I can't see it being a profitable business for them to make Guild Ball play mats, but they need to be able to offer it to people.
Mm-hmm.
So a licensing deal for that really makes sense. Because unless you're going to produce them in-house, which I don't think they were, I think they were ordering them from overseas, you've got to do quantity, there's logistics, there's freight. I just don't see it being very practical.
And storage.
Or for that matter, maybe they were getting them produced by Deep Cut, because Deep Cut's located in Europe, are they not?
Yeah, they are somewhere in the east.
So yeah. maybe a European company was manufacturing for them, then it wasn't cost effective. Who knows?
I know the prices are in euro, and shipping is kind of crazy for us here.
Well, it's the weight, right? Those mats are not light.
And it's a big, cumbersome box as well, because it's 3 foot mat, yep, rolled up in a box. So
not a standard size, right? You can't exactly, yeah, drop that in a mailbox. But I mean, if you look at what we paid for our kickoff mat, the limited edition kickoff mat, yep, we bought it at a convention. Seems to me it was more expensive than what they're selling the Ratcatcher's mat for.
I think it's 40 euro for the Ratcatcher.
Yeah, it's a similar price to the...
Yeah, if you do the conversion.
Yeah. To the standard Guild Ball mat, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So
it's going to be interesting to see if they do design for every guild, and as well if they release at the same time, like we know Falconeers are coming in June, so it would be interesting to see if they have something planned for that as well.
I mean, if Deep Cuts, I don't know this for sure, but I think they produce in-house, which means for them it's not really a big deal to make designs for everyone. Yes, there's artwork time, but I don't imagine that's such a huge deal in terms of investment.
Mm-hmm.
And since they can produce on demand, they don't have to order 300 at a time from Asia.
And as we've seen,
I think it probably makes sense.
Yeah, and as we've seen, they released the Ratcatcher one and teased the Mortician one. So that's probably minor and major guild together. And they've teased.
Oh, good point.
So with the Falconers next, we maybe see the Hunters, and maybe they'll do pairs like that for all the upcoming minor releases.
That would be clever. Look at you thinking. I always knew you were the brains of this operation. You weren't just the pretty one.
I'm not pretty, so I need at least something.
That's not what our female fans say, Antoine.
It's not all about the accent, you know.
Another licensing that they showed was from Broken Toad, another bust, Piper bust.
That's true.
That's going to be
and
really...
that bust was beautiful.
It's awesome. I think so far it's the best bust they produced for the Gale Ball license.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I thought the Angel bust didn't look very good.
Well, because of the squeezing the mascot on the bust.
Not only that, I had some problems with proportions on the model. Like, okay. It wasn't that it wasn't well done. It's just something about it bothered me when I looked at it. You know, they have a phrase in English called the uncanny valley, like where you look at something and it's wrong, but you don't know why it's wrong, but it's just wrong. Kind of like that. And the Rage bust was very nice.
Yeah.
But it was kind of
more static.
Boring because of the subject matter, right? I think this model is really, really interesting, what they've done.
But that one looks really good.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I don't have it in front of me. Do you know what the price point is on the bust, Steve?
Probably around the same price as the other, so...
All I can say is they have a deal right now for the three of them for £100.
I know at the shows in the US, they were selling them for $50 each.
Yeah, that's what I seem to recall as well. Which made them pretty affordable. I mean, they are smallish busts, but they're still quite nice. And it seems pretty reasonable for what it is. And I'm trying to navigate the Broken Toads webpage to get some
same for
actual
me.
Information, and it's terrible. So I'm just going to give up on it. Wait, I found a link for official Guild Ball.
£40 for Piper, £40 for Angel and Salt, and Rage was £35.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go. So you could get all three for
£100.
Yeah.
That's a good saving, £15.
Yeah. That's almost $50 Canadian. I'm kidding, of course.
Not by much. But yeah, I really like that Piper bus. That's pretty sweet. All right. So I think that's it for new licenses and news about that type of stuff.
There's one last thing, but I don't have the name in front of me. But they had a licensing deal for flexible dice trays.
Oh yeah.
So you can they're like mousepad materials, but with snap-on buttons.
Oh,
snap-on buttons.
Collapsible.
Yeah, collapsible.
Yeah, in the corner.
Yeah. So you snap the corners together, and then you can just unsnap them and flat pack them. Yeah.
Personally, I'm not a fan of those. I know lots of people use them in tournament. I've seen it a lot, but it's never like 90 degrees when you snap it. So there's always a curve, and sometimes the dice end up rolling inside.
It's okay, Steve. I got you covered.
If only I knew somebody who could 3D print something, it would be awesome. Right, Paul?
Something.
I think the company name is All Rolled Up.
Oh, because the dice all roll up in the tray.
Yep, that's it. That's the company name. So the artwork, either players in Mossum material. They have two available right now, and they are...
For Rat Catchers.
For Rat Catchers, both, yeah.
That's three players in each artwork.
That's pretty cool.
It's easily transportable, which is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Anyway. Well, I got you covered, Steve. Something. I guess we'll post some pictures of that at some point.
If we manage to meet sometime.
In the future.
In person, and not only through the magic of the internet.
Yes, this is true. I know it's been terrible. The constant illnesses running rampant through my household have made it impossible for me to go out and do anything, so hopefully I can get ahead of the game. Hopefully.
Speaking of disease condition, we can talk about the rat catcher.
That's true.
Oh,
Ooh, good segue.
Segue.
Steve, that's pretty impressive. You've been drinking.
Yeah, but
liquid English.
He's but skipping, I'm skipping stuff from the duck. So well, it's a segue fail.
that's why I said he's been drinking.
But it was a good segue, so I didn't want to miss it.
It was. But backing up a bit, so we actually do stuff in order so we don't forget. Let's talk a bit about game plan decks. So we did a... You guys had a beta test game for our last recording.
Yes.
But now they're official and you guys have played some games of them. What are your thoughts? Steve, you played a whole tournament at Adepticon with them, didn't you?
Well, I played a total of 9 games at Adepticon and 2 games with Antoine with them as well. So, BitCat. Sorry. I had some... What, do you hear the cat?
Yes, but it's okay, because I was laughing because I don't know what's more disturbing to the podcast, the cat meowing, or you like complaining about the cat meowing. It's okay, we're just going to keep going. No worries about the cat.
So I was kind of not too sure about the cards. Like I was lukewarm about them when we did the podcast, but now after playing lots of game, I'm sold on them. I really like them. Like the kind of poker game, poker game mini game going in between each turn. Like trying to guess and depending how much you have momentum ahead or behind your opponent and trying to see, well, counting the cards actually, just like when people are trying to cheat when they're playing cards. Because we know there's 2 of each, like 2-7, 2-6, 2-5, and everything. So if I draw 2 sevens, I know for sure that my opponents won't get any seven. So that I could even throw out one of those 7 and get a better card with a lower number because I know he won't have it. So there's that kind of, not mind game, but
strategy.
Yeah, strategy and added layer to the game that I really I got to like a lot. The effects are okay for most of the time. I mean, it's nothing
game breaker. Face the mic, Steve.
Yeah, I know. The cat is stuck behind the small fridge, the beer fridge. So I need to get the cat out because he's gonna scratch.
Go rescue the cat.
Sorry. Okay. Cat is out of the bag. And
wow, that was terrible.
I know. And so the effects are not game breaking. Most of the time, they're going to be just a small push in your favor. But I really like them. What about you, Antoine?
I was lukewarm at best with our first test. I like them. I won't say I prefer them to be stuff we've seen before. I think I still like the dice drop better. However, the power parts, the game plans and the abilities you can get, I like this way of doing it better than the guild plots, because I always forgot my guild plots.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I never played those.
And the combination is fine from the having the guild plans, the initiative, and the influence modifier. All those things thrown together, they make sense. They work. I could use it or leave it. It's fine with me. I was not happy with just the first test, but now the other 2 games we played, I'm fine with it. So it's the new way to play with them. I'll use it, and that's okay. I won't complain that. That's fine now. I'm just not in love with the system.
Yeah, it doesn't do any good to complain because, like it or not, it's here to stay, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
At least until next season where they come out with a different set of cards.
Well, I think next season they might keep that system, but change some cards and rebalance some of them and stuff like that for sure.
And replace the plastic models with cardboard tokens, you know. make it super board game friendly.
It's going to be more assembly then.
Well, you have to punch out the tokens, it's true. Yeah. I'm sure they can find a kid in China to do that for them for, you know, fractions of pennies. I'm terrible. I'm sorry. Okay. You know, I haven't had a chance to play with the game plan deck yet. I haven't really had a chance to get a game in since December. So I'm just here for color commentary. From an outsider's point of view...
You're the comic relief on this show.
And the occasional provider of words when you guys can't find the English translation. Yeah.
I find that funny that you say he's the comic relief when you were running after your cat a minute ago.
Yeah, exactly. That's totally staying in the show, by the way. I'm not editing that out. I'm far too lazy for that.
And by the way, it's not my cat, it's my girlfriend's cat.
Sure.
Steve?
Yes, there's a difference.
You own a house with her and have two kids with her. She's no longer your girlfriend, Steve. Denial is a wondrous thing, I know, but you are married, sir. In all but, you know...
legal
law. In all the legal ways, you are... Maybe not in the eyes of God, but in the eyes of law, you are. Anyway, back on topic. From an outsider's point of view, you know, looking at the game plan deck, I didn't really like it at first. I really liked the Guild Identities deck that never materialized that we got the beta test. I had a lot of fun with that. I don't know how I feel about this, because it's another effect for me to have to try to remember every turn, kind of like trying to remember to play my guild plot cards. But, you know, overall, I'll have to see. I'll have to see how it plays out. The way things are going, my first game with them may be at the East National Championship or something. Unless I find a way to play before then. Anyway.
I'll go to your place, Paul. Don't worry.
Yeah, that doesn't help any. Two small children equals no gaming ever. Yeah, so I guess that's all we have to say about the game plan deck.
Yeah.
And if you want to hear more about them, just listen to episode 4.
That's true. We went over all the cards. So I guess that takes us to a not-so-smooth segue of the rat catchers. Sorry, Steve, I couldn't slide in a disease and pestilence thing in there first.
That's okay.
I guess we could have said maybe it wasn't Steve's cat, maybe it was rats running around his basement, and then segued that way. I'm not that creative tonight.
Well, the rat catchers are the first of the minor guilds that are introduced into the world of Guild Ball. So... they're attached to... Well, we mentioned this, right, in one of the show. They're attached to a major guild.
Yeah.
And there's two players that are crossover to the Mortician's Guild, which are Bonesaw and Veteran Graves. And Pelage and Skulk are the crossover from the Ratcatchers to the Mortician. But the rat catchers introduce a new condition to the game, which is a disease condition. So when somebody is suffering the disease condition, at the end of his activation, everybody within 2 inches of that model suffer the disease condition. And when you're suffering the disease condition, you need to spend one more momentum point to either use Take a Breather or when you use Command Mate on that model. And also, it does 1 damage in the maintenance phase as well.
Yeah, I like how some of the players have the disease condition, and so they hurt themselves nonstop while they're playing.
Well, the way they did the guild is, if you want to play with the disease condition, you can take... it's Miasma and Scourge that have the disease condition. And if you don't want to, you want to still play with the rat catcher, you can take Bonesaw and Vet Graves, and then you don't have the disease condition in your team. So.
Makes sense. So, should we do a quick overview of models? What's our plan here for this? I know we don't want to drag this out too
long.
No,
we don't want to talk about the playbook and each model, but we can just do a...
Maybe a quick overview of what the team wants to do. So, Steve, you have more experience with them. Well, in our test, we tested some of the Exiles, and in those games, you were using the one or two?
The two, yes. I was using Skulk and Pelage.
Yeah.
Well, we can talk about their captain, which is Piper, who conveniently carries a flute to draw the rats to him. But the rat catcher, they have lots of the player and like their captain. They have a kind of a decision, but they force you to take decision. Like when at the end of a model activation, your opponent choose between A or B. Like Piper, once per turn, he can either jog towards a model or that model jogs towards him. So it's up to the opponent to choose which of the effects he wants to suffer. So that's a pretty neat mechanic. And they're more of a scoring team than a beater. They only have one player that's really designed to punish people with damage, and it's the big bruiser Scourge who wants to imitate Catalyst in a way. So like when he's diseased, he does more damage, kind of Catalyst does in the Alchemist. But they have lots of model that gets core, and they're pretty fast. And especially the captain has lots of ability to do dodges and pushes, and plus the jog. And he also has an ability for a model to make a sprint and shot on goal without spending influence from that model. So
yeah,
that's pretty good.
He's a striker, but he's more making other people do goals than scoring them himself. Like the character play you're mentioning, Reverie, is pretty cool.
Yeah, especially combined with Bonesaw, it can be really great. It makes a surprise goal. But once you know about it, it's not a surprise anymore. But
you still have to play around it.
Yeah, exactly. You have to plan and know it might be coming. Miasma is pretty interesting because of the Rataclys AoE. So
Rataclysm?
Yeah, she just spread the disease, I guess. She throws disease all over the place, and it's pretty good. I mean, it's 3 damage plus the disease condition, so that's not too bad. And she also has a dilemma ability, so either you suffer 2 damage and poison, or 2 damage and bleed within the pulse.
And I like that she has an aura that if you have, if you're suffering from the disease condition, you're at -1 tack.
Yeah,
within 6 inches of her. That's pretty awesome.
It's pretty cool.
It seems like they're a scoring team, but they're also kind of control-y, right? Because they throw out lots of conditions and they manipulate you a lot.
Yeah, a bit of like the Mortician, so that,
which makes sense.
Yeah, because there's quote sub guild. I really like Pelage.
Dislike her.
Her dilemma ability, it's either models suffer snared or 3 damage for models in the 2-inch aura of her, and if you end your activation engaging her, you suffer 3 damage as well. So
she doesn't. And she has Momentous singled out on 2 with 5 tack.
Yeah, that's not too bad. But
that's not bad. Yeah.
But screw you, honestly, it's harder on a 4-1 model or even a 4-0. There's still a chance you're going to miss it. So it's good, but it's. What it's good for, it's when you can hit it on a counterattack. That's pretty nice.
Yeah,
So you don't waste, well, not waste, but you don't put influence to do it. You just use the
Oh, wow. And momentum. Attacks that hit or that generate momentum don't generate momentum.
Yeah, that's...
Attack that damage or don't generate momentum. So if you use attacks your dodges fish,
and stuff,
you could dodge around her and do momentum. But I was playing my butchers in their test game against her. And she's doing a ton of damage just by being there. And I cannot generate momentum and heal just because I cannot get rid of her easily. I cannot generate my momentum to heal back. She was a pain in the butt.
And she's 5-0.
Yeah.
Yep. So she's hard to hit. Only 10 HP, but I was healing her every turn.
Yeah.
So he was just punching her.
She was keeping my players busy.
Yeah, generating no momentum. So that was pretty gruesome for him. Well, Skulk... Yeah,
typical Steve.
Skulk is pretty nice, and so he's another 2-inch melee, and he's supposed to be a goalkeeper, but I've played him more in the middle because he has a free counterattack, and if you end a dodge within 6 inches of him, you can jog toward that model. So if you try to sneak around using where they go or unpredictable movement, he can still dodge you back, jog back at you. So there's no getting away from him.
And that's not once per turn, is it?
Yeah, it's once per turn.
Is it? Oh, yeah, once per turn.
Yeah,
First words. I just don't read, apparently. First words in the sentence, once per turn. I suck.
I'm looking forward to trying the entire guild by themselves to see how they play. And
Do you have one on order, or did you pick one up?
It's supposed to arrive this week at the store, at the Abyss. I had pre-ordered it. So I guess for now that's what we can say about the rat catcher. We can talk a bit more about them when I have more experience with them.
Maybe we can actually video some battle reports where you beat the crap out of me while using them.
Yeah, we could, but I would need to paint the model. Oh no, they're plastic, so I don't need to paint them according to
the official document.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, people don't paint models anyway. Let's face it. This is turning into War Machine, where painting is optional.
Yeah, that's one thing that bugs me with that change in the document is Gilbal being so low count. That was the fully painted game.
Yeah, because
like, most of the event we were running for qualified, I think, was the keyword. I'm not too sure. I don't remember exactly, but when you add a certain amount of at least 16 player pre-registered and they were using painted teams, you got the official support from Steamforge. So it was a good way to push players to paint their stuff. And it's only 10 models, so you didn't need that much.
And even you could only paint the 6 you were using and just bring a team of 6 and stick with those if you wanted.
Yeah, for sure.
You're not forced to bring 10. It's just if you want more flexibility and be able to adjust depending about the team you're facing.
Yeah. It's a bit of a weird choice, I have to say.
Yeah, especially for the low count model of the game. I'm disappointed.
Well, who knows? It may go back, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people complain about it, so.
Not like I have no problem about not asking people to paint their stuff. I have a problem with seeing that metal models needs to be painted, but not plastic.
Yeah, not consistent.
That was the part that bugged me. Like, if they said painting is not required anymore, fine, that's it. It's on the TO's part. But having different requirement based on the models,
material the models are made out of? Yeah.
That makes ridiculous. No sense for me. Sure, they're pre-colored, but then why couldn't you say just pray your butcher's red and that's it?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what's going to happen is if they ever release the original teams in plastic, you're going to have two rules for the same team depending on what. Yeah. Hmm. That's going to be weird.
Yeah. And there's the other thing is they are releasing alternate models for those teams, but the alternates are in metal.
Yeah.
So if you have your farmers and you have the alternate millstone in metal, do you need to paint her but not the rest of the team?
Technically, yeah. by raw.
Yeah, so that just doesn't work for me.
Yeah, that makes total sense, right?
Exactly.
That's very logical. Anyway, this is
speaking of metal model, we can talk about the Exile player.
Oh,
that one works.
Yeah, segue that works. Well done, Steve. Well done.
So these are the models from the community event last summer, autumn?
Summer.
That concluded at SteamCon UK. And each guild were battling to...
There were pairs of guilds battling over the control of a union player that was going to defect to their own team.
Yeah.
So fishermen and butchers were vying for control of who was going to get veteran gutter. And mason and brewer were vying for decimate. And the list goes on.
So which one do we want to talk about first?
I'm going to pick Harriet.
Harriet?
Talk about Harriet, yeah. Because she has an 8-inch punch, so that makes her awesome.
And a mechanical arm.
That's what her the 8-inch punch.
Yeah. I didn't realize. I couldn't really see. Also, is it me or is her artwork make her look older than the model? Because the model looks like a child, right?
Yeah, it's a child. So it's the artwork makes her look older.
Yeah, the artwork makes you look like a teenager, like a 16-year-old, whereas the model makes you look like a 10-year-old or something, or a 12-year-old.
Yeah, I think that's more in that vein.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so talk about her.
She's pretty good. She brings disarm to the engineer, which was previously on ferrite from the blacksmith, but it's on the third column instead of being on the first column for ferrite. But it's pretty good because they have engineer have a couple of risen player, but she has sucker punch, so she kind of throw fists from a distance, and at 8 inches, an enemy model suffer 2 damage.
That's a character play that costs 2 or 1 guild battle symbol.
Yeah.
So on her, it's fine. But her first guild battle symbol is only on column 3 with 5 tag. But we need to remember that it's engineers and it can be.
Replicate.
Yeah, replicate on Oist.
Mm.
And which has attack of 5, but his guild ball symbol is on the second column, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think so.
And you can dual up Oist, and you can do deletion on Oist if you have Pin Vice, and you can overclock Oist if you have Ratchet. So...
Well, that's a lot of models interacting with Hoist to
it's
pull off a crazy sucker
because bunch. Ratchet has tooled up also. So it's only 2 other models.
Oh.
But you need Harriet to be close. So it's a 4-model bundle overall.
But you're going to deal 24... you could potentially deal 24 damage from afar if you can wrap on the charge. But mostly you'll do 20 damage 8 inches away from the model you're attacking. So all you have to
do... That seems good.
All you have to do is choose like a 3-1 model or a 4-0 model. Just charge and do some damage. And you don't even have to do it on the model you're targeting because it's 8 inches away and it's not once per turn.
Yeah. It's a lot of setup, like Paul have mentioned. And I've seen... there was a lot of discussion about that in the engineers Facebook group, and most of the players who've tried her have not been able to do it really. They can use it a bit, but never like the full 20 inches. Like disarm has been more useful. Yeah. The app has been more useful, or other abilities. So she makes for a great piece, not just for Second Punch, but for the whole package.
Yeah, because she still has the hat, the inspiring hat that Ari had. And my best character play is, if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. They didn't put you can dodge a ball because probably there's a trademark or something like that, but I love the reference. And basically, if she damage an enemy model in position of the ball marker, the enemy loses the ball.
Yeah, you do a scatter. And that's not triggered only on attack. So it's any damage by her. So it means that she can sucker punch for that. Yeah. So she can make a model lose the ball from 8 inches from her. And she also have a 6-9 move. So she could, in theory, make somebody lose the ball from 17 inches away at the start of her activation.
Or, I mean, they lose the ball. Wait, does the ball, hold on.
It scatters.
It scatters.
So in theory, you could do your sucker punch, make them lose the ball, and pick up the ball on the way.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. And also, she can use a character play.
For free if she's near our captain.
So she's 2-3 influence, but basically, if you're near the captain, she's 5-3 because you'll get the sucker punch for free.
She's really good.
Yeah, she's really fun. Like, I have two real guilds right now, the engineers and the butchers. And I must say, I'm getting an exile in each faction, in each guild. And that one is the one I look for the most to play. So, speaking of which, we might talk about the other one, Veteran Guard.
Yeah, sure.
Which you had a chance to try.
Yeah, I've played her twice now against you, Steve.
Yeah.
And she is keeping stuff a bit similar to her union part. Instead of having the chain grab or the way to drag people toward her, the way they've played that, it's a new character play that's called Grapple Hook, which makes her jug toward the target. So it's still 6 inches. It can be triggered as a character play for 2 or from her playbook. And it makes her jug directly toward the enemy model. So it's a jug. It's not a push or a dodge. So it can trigger
Parting blows.
There's more limitation and it's also directly toward. So it's more limited, but it makes her move. So it's a positioning, but it won't help your team as much as make her move toward maybe the enemy goal. So she has a longer potential goal range with that.
Well, she's
trying to do it.
She's 3-6 kick, so that's not too bad.
Yeah, she makes for good. She kept an optimal call precision. She kept her 2-inch melee. So overall, she's still a beater. She can by herself do less damage because she does the character play that did damage to everybody in her control area, which in Butchers would have been crazy.
Sighting blows.
With the honor and insane. All the way to put the extra damage on a model, they can do, I think, +3 or +4 with Butchers. It would have been crazy.
With Ox and tooled up and wow.
Yeah. So that's fine. But overall, after playing her twice, I don't think she's bad. I just find her uninspiring. She's like she doesn't have a lot of options. She only have one character play. Her tackle is really high. I find her boring in the game I played. Like she did, the first game she didn't even do anything. The second game, she did damage constantly, but her second damage is only on 3. So while most of the butchers have their second damage on two, so which means most of the time any other butchers would have done at least one more damage, depending on the armor of the target. But I was facing a bunch of 5-0s, so the anatomical precision didn't really matter.
Right.
So.
But she's 2-inch melee, so.
Yeah, but so is Boar, so is Shank, so is Tenderizer. So, I think she might be good. She might be better against a different team. Like, you played your Morticians both time with the Ratcatchers player in, and she might be better against a different lineup.
Yeah.
So, I'll have to test her again. The model is fantastic, so I'm going to get her anyway, that's for sure. I'm just maybe not in love with her.
Yet.
Yeah. I'm not in love with Fillet yet. And she's been out for 2 years and everybody's crazy about her. So I don't think Gutter will get there.
Fair enough. All right. Fine. Be that way. All right. So who do we want to talk about next? You want to hit Decimate? I mean, she's a brewer and brewers can't win, right?
Exactly. Brewers suck. I think that's what they're supposed to do. Well, that's why Yum stopped playing them. Stopped playing the game because Brewer sucks, right?
No, because of Stave. Only Stave.
Stave sucks, yes.
Stave Gate.
Yum Gate. So she gained an inch of melee. She's now 2-inch and her.
Well, she's back to her original melee.
Yeah.
In season one before Priorata, she was melee 2. Mm-hmm. She was crazy.
Yeah, she was a wee bit too good, as I recall.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she still has anatomical precision. And she now has acrobatic. And she has stagger to remove one defense. She stacks 6. And she has a brewer's playbook. Means it's only 5 column long. And she gained tough hide. What makes her good is her heroic play, because all brewers need to have a heroic play. And it's a dualist lunge. So for each successful attack this model may make a 2-inch dodge directly towards the target of the attack.
And that's important, because when passing through the brewer, every one of her dodge was transformed to a push. So now almost all of her character plays have pushes in them instead of dodges. So when you do your heroic, you can push the opponent and follow up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good
and
combo.
She keeps attacking,
and her she has a 2-push on 2.
So, yeah, double push on 2, so she could potentially push target 8 inches off the... If you're 8 inches...
8 or 10, because it's only on 2, so she could easily wrap if she was...
No, because you need two to charge.
She doesn't have a way to get free charge. That's true.
Yeah, exactly. So it's you could potentially push a target 8 inches.
Yeah, 8 inches is a lot. So that's
a lot. And she has anatomical precision with attack of 6. So if you want to do that, you'll be able to do it. So that's no problem at all. And she's 6-8 moves, so she's pretty fast as well.
Mm-hmm.
And sorry, you lost me when you guys started talking about how 8 inches was a lot. Sorry. Yeah. Low-hanging fruit.
And yeah, I find she's pretty good, and she's more powerful than, like we saw for Gutter, but in the Brewers, I don't think she will power creep the team too much, and it won't be overbalancing, I think.
No, I don't think. Like, she's good.
No, she seems like a side grade.
She fits into the Brewers line. She fits there. So, like, she seems amazing maybe in other team, but she's right there. They did well in their transformation to Brewers before.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think she has been better received in the guild than Gutter in Butchers.
Yeah, That's for sure. And I'm really glad they did their homework and redid the model from the first render we saw.
Yeah.
Because now the model is really, really good.
Oh, right. Everyone hated the render, eh?
Yeah. It was horrible.
All right. Let's,
Next one.
Let's go to Minx.
Minx? So the hunter gets Minx, veteran Minx. So now it's a choice between veteran Minx and regular Minx until June when the Falconeer comes in, because at that point you won't be able to take Union players anymore. So it's only going to be veteran Minx. She also has a 2-inch melee. So it's kind of a trend in those exile player. She lost the free charge that she had, but she gained a kick, so that's pretty good. And she has some traps as well to fit in the hunter, so she can place three markers on the pitch, and the marker, pretty simple. You move within 1 inch, you suffer 2 damage. So that's pretty...
Did Minx always have Blessing of the Sunfather?
No, now she
has. That's what I thought.
Yeah, she gained that from being part of the hunter for permanent ship, I guess. And yeah, so you can build a team having 3 Blessing of the Sunfather with the original Urn and Terran.
Yeah, sounds fair and balanced.
Well, it's not too bad. And
I know. It strikes me as frustrating more than anything else. It's not overpowered, just frustrating for the opponent.
And one of her character play is Marked for Debt, and it's really good to enable J'Kar.
She already had that in the regular version, right?
No, the regular version was Mark Target, which gives you 2 inches of additional inches of charge against that model.
Also, this is the same, but you also charge for one less influence.
You charge for one less, so and she needs...
one. Okay.
Yeah. But she needs to be in the melee zone of that model, so she needs to be engaging that model.
Okay, so it enables it for another player.
And yeah, exactly, because Mark Target was a character play, but it could be done eight inches away.
Yeah.
So it's really good, like, for J'Kar or both Urns, because basically give them one more influence, or even Terran. She lost the ability to do snares, so it's going to be one less snaring model on my lineup. It's less snared.
So my heart bleeds for you, Steve.
It's less frustrating for the opponent, that's what you mean?
No. It's going to be frustrating with all those traps and J'Kar just pushing you around in traps. You suffer 2 damage, you suffer bleed, you suffer...
Yeah, but I prefer the 2 damage than snare.
Well, I haven't tried her yet, so I'm looking forward to try her. Oh, maybe next game I get to play, I'll bring the hunters and proxy her until she's out on... The Exile are out on May 18, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, something I think so. Like that.
Something like that. Right. Next one, Hemlock.
Yeah.
Another 2-inch melee. But she has blind, so adding blind to the Mortician, who are a control guild, is even more control to them. So it's really, really good. I enjoyed it a lot. And she also had Midnight Offering, which was a character play we found on Zarola for the hunters. So you can do a jog model. I did against Antoine, I did the Midnight Offering, and then on Scalpel, I was using Scalpel for both our games, and I used Midnight Offering, and then Scalpel did her activation. She moved, and then she used the second wind to get out. So
she went from one side of the board to the complete other end of it in one activation.
So she casually moved 21 inches.
Yeah, and, ridiculous.
And retrieved the ball and eyed the ball from Antoine, and he didn't suspect it. She's a bit of a emo because she can scratch herself to suffer 3 damage, and you'll spend 1 less influence on a character play. So you can only put 1 influence on her if you want, and she could do blind by paying that influence, or you could just damage yourself and then do Midnight Offering for 1 influence at that point. So
yeah, she could have 0 move and blind you.
Yeah, so she could.
That's sneaky. Like the characters with 0 on them, usually you kind of forget. But having the ability to do it for free, for damage instead of influence, is pretty good.
Yeah,
that's cool. That's something to remember.
That's a good point.
Her playbook is so-so, but she's not there to do attacks. She's really there for supporting. And if needed, you could always use her for assist. She has a 2-inch melee, so it's not too bad.
All right.
Last one.
Yeah, last but not least.
The crippled hero.
Yeah. The only one with a 1-inch melee in that old box.
No, Ariad has 1-inch as well.
She does?
Yeah,
I'm so used to Ari having 2. Yeah, that's true.
So it's a veteran honor who got her leg mangled in the fluff. So she's back in action, but with the farmers.
Yeah, she's back as a coach.
Yeah.
Bringing the farmers up to speed for the majors.
And she's really a support character because she's a planter. So she'll put harvest marker for you. But she's really slow at 4-6 and only tech 4 because she has a walking stick and a dog to aid her. So. And the dog is kind of there in one of the character play because it's called Faithful Protector. So enemy suffer 1-1 attack when making an attack against her. So
I just want to point out that Corsair plays with a damn peg leg. So, yeah. Just saying.
She has her Field of Wheat. Another character trait she has, it's a 4-inch pulse, and when she does that, she may choose any number of harvest marker within the pulse, and she removes them from the pitch and then place them within that pulse. But it doesn't say friendly harvest marker. It just says harvest marker. So if you're playing against another farmer's guild, you could just take their harvest marker.
Move them all closer to you?
Yeah, especially since now Tater and Thresher need to be closer to those harvest marker and to need to remove them. So you could just steal them.
That's so mean.
And beat that guy. And our legendary, it's a 6-inch push pulse. And you may remove... that one is specified. It's friendly harvest marker.
Well, at least.
At least that one is specified. And you remove those harvest marker, and she allocates influence.
So. Yeah. I get the suspicion that a lot of these characters will change over time.
Well, she's not too bad, I mean.
No.
She's really a support character, and I don't
think... She won't do much by herself.
Yeah. She's really there, like, if you have bad placement or, like I said, you want to steal harvest marker, but I don't see her being on the pitch often, honestly. Because the rest of the team is so good that you're going to have a hard time finding a place in your 10 to include her, I think.
Does that change a bit with the nerfing of Thresher and stuff?
I don't think so. The Thresher lineup is pretty much similar. I think it's still viable. just need to be more careful the way you you're playing it. And but it's still good. I mean, it's been nerfed, but it's still a good team.
Well, I mean, I don't think Steamforge ever intended to nerf it to non-existence. It's a relatively new release, right?
Yeah, and also, I mean, it just means that we're going to see a bit more of, Grange a bit on the field.
Which is good, right? Variety is the spice of life, and it's good that we, you know, both captains get play.
Yeah, and it's not a Noto include.
Yeah, you know, they want to encourage people to change their lineups. Which, in all honesty, that's the nice thing about all these new models coming out, is there's more variety, there's more chances to experiment.
Yeah.
I just wish I didn't have to buy a box of six models when I only want one, right?
There's been lots of complaint about that.
Yeah, they've hinted that there's something coming to fix that or kind of alleviate that a little bit. No one knows what that is, though. Maybe we'll see some.
But the box was already on sale at Salute, and we've seen posts all over the support page, like people selling individual models. So you buy the entire box and just hope that you can
find somebody to buy. You might
I know.
And it works great for this, but it doesn't fix people like who have my problem, where you buy the first Faithful box, or you pre-order it because you want Pride, but you're duplicating every other model in the box.
Yeah. That box is not great value, because the only new model for sure, and the Harry is just a reskull.
Yeah, alternate Harry, yeah.
But, I mean, the other one were already out, so... But for that box specifically, they hinted that Pride might get an alternate sculpt that could be released at show only or something like that.
That's so frustrating. I really wish they would do the resin singles like they used to do.
Oh, I miss the resin model.
I can understand not wanting to say I have to cast metal because it's need more equipment and it's not necessarily as easy. At least resin they could do in-house if they needed to. So, like,
but you know, for singles,
cast on demand or something, that would have been.
But for single model, they could have done for like they did for the Rookie. I mean, the Rookie, they're only selling them through their website as web store exclusive. So they could have done something similar for
absolutely
them.
Absolutely, right? They could have cast them in house in resin or whatever and done it as web store only.
Yeah.
Because, I would have accepted that.
Yeah, I think that it's because they don't want to alienate the local gaming store by having too many exclusive model and just the base for the store.
Well, Steve, not too many exclusive models. It seems like there's a new box out with exclusive models every holiday.
I know. So, yeah.
Like, not too many exclusives is a bit of a stretch. Just saying. Not knocking it, just saying.
It's a
stretch. All right.
Think that's a wrap for now?
Yeah, we were going to discuss the Faithful, but it is a little bit later than.
And we don't have much information, so.
Yeah.
We'll come back to you when we have more.
And that hopefully will mean another episode 6, sooner rather than later. But we do have one last thing we'd like to talk about.
So, in a month and a half now, it's coming soon. We have the East Canadian National Guild Ball Championship for 2018. So this is a qualifier for the World Championship that will be held at SteamCon UK. Or winner gets a free entry for the SteamCon World Championship. If, and that's the same for every one of the qualifiers, if they get at least 30 per registered player, the flight and the hotels are covered by Steamforged. So right now we are at 25 registered player out of 32 max. So we only have 7 spots left. Only 5 to get the full prize package for the first player. It's only $25. It's on June 2nd. So please check out Facebook. We'll have for the name of the event I went through, or look in the show notes, I will have a link. We have amazing price support right now. We got the greater stuff from Steamforge, Hidden Forest sent terrain packs. TH Miniatures are sending 3D terrain also.
The Abyss is giving away two C4 Battle Foam with the Gilball cutouts.
Yeah, and so there's more.
Yeah,
because we have more coming. So, the list just goes on.
Yeah, even Geeks of the North is giving a few things. So,
yep, and Le Seigneur too. I'll add some of the three terrain obstacle I have. So,
oh, nice.
The price package is pretty cool. The Abyss is not asking for a penny for hosting the event. Everything from the $25 people are paying goes into your lunch, and everything else is in the price support. So not only are they not asking for anything, they are adding the two bags that Steve mentioned. So that's really, cool. Really good support from them.
Yeah, that's amazing support from the Abyss.
And that's it. So we only have 7 spots left. Please register soon. Yeah. And now, I must say we have more player out of Nova Scotia than from Quebec. So please, Montreal player, local players, register. Come play the game.
So ridiculous, eh?
Yeah.
So ridiculous. That says the guy who's also not registered. But
but yeah, we know you're not a tournament player, though. So I won't hold it against you.
How many rounds is it likely to be?
5.
Is it going to be?
It's going to be 5.
That's a lot of rounds.
Yeah.
That's 10 hours?
Yeah.
I don't have the intestinal fortitude, as they say.
I have the tiger ball.
Ten. Oh, no.
I'd be
asleep under a table somewhere with a little I forfeit flag, you know, held up in the air. I may come in to the tournament just to watch some games and socialize with the organizers.
Well, the other organizer are playing, Antoine will be reffing, but I'm playing, Kevin is playing, and Marc-Antoine is playing as well.
Oh, jeez. That seems unfair.
That's fine.
Not like... We cannot influence the tournament.
I know. I'm just yanking your chain, Steve. It's fine. All right. So this has been a fairly productive episode. Overall synopsis: we like the licensing stuff. We like the game plan deck, or are indifferent to it, or are undecided. And so we get the full spectrum there, and all the new stuff, all the new models we like.
The Sculpt. We like the Sculpt, but not all the rules.
Well, there's only one we're just...
Yeah, kinda, I mean, we're pretty positive on, about... Pretty positive about most of the models.
Yeah. Gunther is not bad. She's just not...
She's not superb.
Right? Yeah, she's not wow. There's no wow factor to her. That's it.
We're positive about the models because Paul didn't talk about the models. That's why.
No, I meant the rules for the models, not the models themselves. And I haven't seen the models, so I can't comment. Now, if we want to talk about blacksmiths or something, I can talk about those models. And I don't mean the rules, but, you know.
That's something for next episode, maybe.
We can discuss the draft people another episode, yes. I guess that's it for this week. Guys, as always, it was a pleasure, and I look forward to recording this again next week or the week after.
Perfect. See you there.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, at PRFilio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by LaDrave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out a United Geeks Network family member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find All Us Geeks, a podcast that discusses board games, movies, television, comics, Kickstarter, and many other forms of geek culture. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.